Good morning, everyone. Happy summer to you. The Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If anybody has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you'd silence them now, it's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We'd appreciate it. And if you would stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now, we'll move on to item number 3. This is discussion and possible action. Approve the agenda for June the 20th, 2017. Do we have any changes tonight, Mr. County Manager, on today's agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We'd like to continue item 23. This item will be referred back to the Planning Commission on July 20th with the target date specific back to this commission of August 15th. And also move item 22 up to immediately following item 6 before staff and committee reports.
Very good.
Hey, hang on. Okay, excuse me. I misspoke. We're moving item 24 to the July 20th Planning Commission meeting and to August 15th for the County Commission meeting. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay.
Not item 23.
Very good. Any public comment regarding today's agenda? Enough, I get a motion to approve this with the changes so noted.
I'll make a motion to approve today's agenda along with moving item 22 to follow item 5.
Item 6
is going to follow. Yeah. Item 22 will follow item 6. And to move item 24 to the August meeting.
August 15th. Right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
We move a second to approve the agenda with the changes made. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along right now to item number 4, this discussion and possible action approval of the minutes for May the 16th, 2017. So any public comment regarding the minutes? Hearing nothing, get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for May 16th, 2017.
I'll second.
Then moving a second to approve the minutes for May 16th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Move along now to item number 5. This is the consent agenda. Does anyone have any comments regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
Second.
We move a second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. First reading, business licenses, I believe there were 58 on there for first reading. That might be a record, 58 new business licenses.
You can tell that Dean's staff, and especially Sarah's fingers, are all blistered from the processing.
All right. Item number 6, this is discussion and possible action, presentation by the Nevada Department of Transportation and acceptance of the 2017 transportation report for Story County. Deputy Director, Mr. Hoffman.
Hey, good morning. I'm Bill Hoffman, Deputy Director for NDOT. It's a pleasure to be up here again. I think this is my fourth or fifth year coming up here consecutively. So it's always an honor to come up here. I love the history and the folks. They're very nice. So the goal each year of the County Commission presentation is to help us build the STIP and long-range plan. This year, in addition to those goals, we are asking the county to provide direction on the top county concerns, and we will work on those from a state-federal perspective and bring that back next year. Oh, I better wait for the slideshow, huh? Jeez, I was just out of the blocks and sprinting. Okay, well, sorry about that. I'll just start all over again. So I'm Bill Hoffman, Deputy Director for NDOT. The goal each year of the County Commission is to help us build the STIP. It's our planning document and long-range plan. This year, in addition to those goals, we are asking the county to provide direction on the top county concerns. So go to the next slide. This is an outline of what we have done as a county over the last year, or what we have worked with you, this county, over the last year, and where we are going. We created a list of the county concerns and worked through those lists and are asking for direction on your county priorities. Next year, we will work to get those into the long-range plan and report back to the commission. And if you focus on the bottom left part of the slide under workshop, that's really where we're focusing our efforts. And we're in between, you know, we're really in the bottom left corner. And so we're validating each issue and concern. So those concerns that you have are working its way through NDOT's planning process and information capture. We're utilizing traffic counts so we know where people are moving around in your county. We want to make sure that we're, and of course, with the growth of Story County and that which is coming today, I mean, I have 58 new business licenses, if I heard that right. That's great news. We need to make sure that we're working with you and that traffic and pedestrians, bicycles, everyone can move around as safely as possible, quite frankly. So we've ranked the top two concerns. Sorry about that. If you could go back. So we've ranked your top two concerns, and we have a second two concerns, a total of four that we'd like to work on. So the top two, and then two additional concerns that we would like to work with you and your staff on. All right, Lee, thank you. So, over the last 2 years, we've gathered data from all the rural counties and have seen consistent issues across all the counties. Here is a list of those concerns. So, out in the rural counties, we're seeing the need for passing lanes. We're seeing a lot of collisions with wild horses, burros, wildlife, and cattle, or wild animal collisions, intersections, and also shoulder widening. So those were the four main topics that we've heard from rural counties across the state. So this is a very interesting slide. So wildlife vehicle collisions are one of the top concerns, and we are currently working on a statewide study right now. We're working with UNR and Department of Wildlife right now on migration patterns and those sorts of things so that we can dig into this a little bit deeper. I mean, this, for a rural, this is a high-ranking rural problem and concern, quite obviously. You can see the data, 5,100 recorded wild animal vehicle collisions, 13 fatalities, and we're actually thinking that the reporting is being underreported. So people will hit a deer or something like that, and if the damage isn't too great, they'll just drive off and they won't report it. So we think it could be up around 20,000, the total number of collisions. It's at a cost of $18.5 million. To Nevada residents and all those associated injury and crash costs. And prioritization is the key, really. So all major Nevada roads are affected. We need to analyze the collision data and wildlife movement data. That's what we're doing with UNR and Department of Wildlife. And we're highlighting the highest risk areas to focus our efforts on. If you look at Story County, 14.1% of all your crashes involve animal-related collisions. I mean, that's a pretty high percentage. This was surprising to me. And if you look at the numbers all over the state, you're actually one of the lower counties. Lincoln, almost half of their crashes are due to hitting animals on the road. So anyway, we thought that was interesting. We definitely wanted to share that with you. We're really excited about the long-range plan, the One Nevada plan. So the plan is an update to Nevada's federally required long-range transportation plan. The One Nevada plan helps guide investments and the movement of people and goods over a continuous 20-year planning horizon. The One Nevada Transportation Plan seeks to not only meet these federal requirements, but to better align Nevada's transportation plans and processes to create a framework that helps to make more informed transportation decisions. The plan will align Nevada's various transportation plans and processes to create a transparent framework that supports more informed transportation decisions. Bottom line is to create a one-stop shop for transportation planning in Nevada. How will it benefit the county? When combined with the county tours and consultation process that we've talked about, it allows project decisions to be understood within the context of the state's overall transportation performance and whatever your concerns or needs are in the county. Those two have to be integrated, definitely. So if we move on, so current updates. So that was the plan stuff, and now we're into the current. So USA Parkway, the ribbon cutting is scheduled for September of 2017. I believe that's about 3 months ahead of schedule. So that's really cool. Flood and erosion mitigation. I don't know if we have an NDOT. Well, I'll take my hats off to anybody in here that helped with the flooding over this last winter. I did want to give kudos to our NDOT staff. I mean, these poor folks were down manning closures so cars wouldn't drive off into abysses until midnight when the rain turned to snow and these same people had to drive up into the mountains and plow snow. I'm sure your folks probably had to do the same thing. Over and over and over this winter, we lost portions of roads, we had slides, but all in all, it could have been a heck of a lot worse, and I just take my hat off to all those that participated in the flooding and erosion this past winter. Another thing, I know SR 342, I believe that Comstock Mine, they've released their bond, right? So, I mean, that's another thing that we can, that's another feather in our cap. So we got that SR 342 opened, cleared. Let's see, what else? We're paving 342, so I think that started earlier this week. So we need to make sure to keep the pavement. You're going to see pavements blowing up all over the place in Nevada after this winter, really. And we're trying to get out there and try to fix potholes and pave as much as we can. If you don't take care of this now, your roads will honestly will deteriorate if we don't do this. So if I could transition to your top county concerns. So this is what we were talking about earlier, where during the fall and winter, we come meet with your folks and we try to zero in on what those top needs or concerns are. And the list that we have from the workshop this year is an electric avenue traffic signal, which I think is going in, isn't it, Lee? So do they get an extra concern if we've taken care of it? So we'll have to go back and talk to their staff to see how they want to redo that, I guess, huh? But that's for a later date. So your number two concern was I-80 Lockwood Interchange. The second two, or number threes and fours there, are Wild Horses entering the roadway on 341 and 342, and then Waltham and Patrick Interchange. So with that, we understand your concerns. We understand them so much that we've actually taken your number one. You don't need to have that as a concern anymore. We've taken care of that for you. Okay. So now we need to talk about next year, and that's the work program that we're hoping you will accept this year. But the total dollar amount for Story County in FY 2018 is $3 million. So, it's work on 430. It's actually the widening the intersection traffic signal on your top concern. So, with that, yeah, I'm concluding my presentation, and I would like to, if you would please, if we could get a motion to accept our work program, 2018 work program, that would be wonderful. I'd be happy to take any questions you have.
Sure. Thank you, Deputy Director.
Yeah.
And of course, along that workshop, I believe it was back in December, which we had here downstairs in the museum.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of other concerns on there, too, that we'd like to keep working forward on. One of my pet peeves is maybe some illuminated signage for speed control here. Because I noticed in other jurisdictions, when you have a flashing 20-mile-an-hour sign, it makes you look twice at your speedometer and slow down. We have an issue at both ends of this town right here with excessive speed. And when the sheriff's deputies are working those beats, it slows them down, but the deputies can't be there 24/7. So I think if we could work forward to getting that accomplished, I think that's going to remedy part of our problem.
Okay.
So it's not like I want to move it up to the top of the list, but I don't want it to be, you know.
Yeah, no, speed and safety are very important. I concur with you, yes.
As I mentioned before, especially at the north end of town, during the school year, as the buses enter Virginia City from the north, coming in from the Highlands or from Lockwood, they have to make a left-hand turn crossing 341 going behind the service station. And by the time that the track is going north on 341, by the time they get there, some of these cars are going in excessive speed. So my concern is one of these school buses full of children is going to get T-boned. And then we're going to have a mess. We're just going to have a total mess. So.
Okay.
I'm thinking maybe if we could illuminate these traffic speed signs, not going in just one direction, but in both directions, maybe back to back, something like that.
Okay. I understand. I understand your concern.
I guess my question first is, you know, there's a flashing speed monitor down in the bottom of Gold Hill. It's been there for several months now. Is that a county or is that NDOT's?
Silver City.
Is it Silver City's?
Comstock
Mine? All right. So it's been there for a long time now, and it is a deterrent to slow people down. I mean, it doesn't deter them from slowing down. But I mean, people do. They see their speed. It tells them to slow down. And we could use that on each end of town here as well.
I don't think we need something quite that large.
Yeah,
the ones you see these days.
But a flashing light, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Commissioner Gilman?
Yes, sir. Have you got a suggested timeline on that Lockwood interchange ramp? I use that extensively. There's a large population of Story County there. And with the impact on I-80 and the amount of traffic that's running, and especially the run and speed, the merging lane is so short that I'm sure we all agree that it's a clear and present danger right now. So do you have an estimated time on when that can be addressed and at least that merging lane be improved?
Well, Commissioner, I don't have that exact information, but what I will do is go back to the office and I'll formally send you an email on that information. I do concur with you that there's work that needs to be done out there. We completely understand that work needs to be done. We're working very hard, but I need to get you those dates that you asked for. So.
Well, I'd appreciate the follow-up to that. Unfortunately, I believe it's only a matter of time until we have a tragedy. That's a major senior residential area, although there's a broad cross-section. We have a lot of school children and the buses, but it's a major senior area, and they are having serious difficulties. It's just a matter of time before there's some bad things.
Right. I'll report back to you as soon as possible.
I would appreciate that.
So I'm a bit surprised if you don't have some information. It means it's one of our top two concerns.
Wow.
So, but with that being said, have you
actually?
When's the last time that you were on that on ramp?
When was I on the I-80?
Yeah, Lockwood on ramp.
I don't know.
See, I think you need to go out there and try to use it. You'll see right away what the problem is.
Yeah. Well, I've been told what the problem is, but I will take will take your advice. I will go drive it.
Yeah, you should go drive it.
Okay, I will. But Lee actually has that information for you.
It's actually in Washoe County. It's not in Story County.
Yes,
so the Washoe RTC is looking at that. It's going to involve right of way, which automatically is going to add quite a few years to any type of project. But they're looking at a comprehensive solution for the USA Parkway interchange and that one. And there's a lot of plans, but that's really up to the RTC of Washoe to make that decision. And I think they're working together. you know, with all the other entities to try to figure out what the right
solution is. So, Lee, should we be talking to someone else other than NDOT on that? The challenge I have is USA Parkway is busy. There's no question about that. But it was designed to a standard to have merging lanes. That it works. It just has a lot of traffic on it.
Right.
But the one at Lockwood is so substandard and so short as to be like you're trying to get out of your driveway onto a freeway that's running bumper to bumper for 3.5 hours.
Right. And I think Lockwood and the Patrick Interchange there's some similarities there as far as the merge lane.
Yes, sir, that's true. So should we be chatting as a county with some other entity there to help, like with Washoe or RTC, or should we continue to focus?
Yeah, I think reaching out to Washoe RTC, and I'll put that note in and see if I can't help speed that along and get y'all engaged with that.
Jason, we appreciate that very much.
Jason will follow up.
Yeah. It's in Washoe County, but it affects Story County more than anybody.
Right. Okay. Duly noted.
I got a question. Isn't that
hold on a second. Hold on. We're not open for public comment. Okay.
Oh, you're
just
not.
Not yet. No. Not yet. Just be patient. We'll get you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Story County has a really good working relationship with your office.
Yes.
And we appreciate what you do, especially a winter like this.
It's just
beyond all peril. And I like where we're at with the step here and things like this. But we need to talk about some of the things that we're disappointed in, too.
Okay.
And one of the items that we're extremely disappointed with is that the north end of town, the Seymour property out there, which it doesn't look like NDOT's going to give us any relief on.
Well, we're not done. And I hate to interrupt you, Commissioner. Okay. We're not done with that. I'll just let you know what I've been. So I've personally spent at least 4 or 5 hours on this issue personally, researching, sitting in meetings, going to the homeowners last year. There's no evidence at all that NDOT built the wall. I have the document circulated through the right-of-way division that shows we went through we exhausted every avenue we had. We do not show that wall anywhere.
Well,
on plan sheets from 1936 to 1949, there's no wall, there's steps. But I will say that we're not done.
Okay.
What I would like to do is try to negotiate some sort of, I don't know, agreement on how we're going to move forward. But what NDOT cannot do is spend public money on private property when we have no proof. We cannot find any evidence that wall was built by NDOT. We have none.
All right. With that being said, I've got a photograph of what it looked like before the road was built.
Well, and there was another. So, I think, didn't A Street or B Street swing right near that house, too?
It's behind it.
No, but there was. It intersected 341. Either A or B Street.
North Street.
Yes. So anyway, I'm wasting your time getting into the details. But honestly, I have invested my time. I want to try to help. I walked to the property to look and see what the issue was. Legally, I can't give you any money.
The Nevada Highway Department built the road.
Yes, and then they changed the road.
So I'm not a lawyer, but my argument to you would be, if the Nevada Highway Department had the authority to build the road and the bulkhead or retaining wall, whatever you call it, how come they don't have the authority today to maintain it?
We don't have any proof that NDOT built the wall.
You know what? There's lost records because we know that we have lost records in the county. Every department in the state and in the country has lost records.
Right, but we need that to justify us spending money. We can't spend any money until we get that proof.
I understand,
proof.
But to look at it, it's only the obvious. It couldn't have been built. You know, the highway was built, and the only way you could build it was to retain that corner.
Right. Well, and another thing, there's a couple of trees on the slope, and if that thing didn't go this year with all the water, I don't know when it's going to go. So there's another thing for you.
Okay.
So.
Do you want to talk to him about the monument?
Before we jump on, can we stay with the Seymour Wall?
Sure. Yeah, before
Lee, I've given you a couple of suggestions. You know, I don't know if you run them past your AG. I've not run them past ours. I did confirm, and the Seymours are here and plenty able to speak for themselves. You know, I would imagine they'd be more than happy to give you that part of their property so that you can spend NDOT money, taxpayer money, on that. I mean, we've talked about what happens, how catastrophic is it going to be to, A, not only the property owners, but B, passing motorists.
Well, I'm sorry, Pat, but I met with our AG yesterday, and he said we can't spend public money on that situation.
Okay, but if the Seymour's granted to you and it's NDOT, it's state property, would that answer be the same? I would think not. I mean, we can't.
I don't know. I got to ask him.
Yeah, we can't spend money on private property either unless we're operating under a state of emergency, which was another suggestion I gave. But I appreciate that the issue is still alive.
It is. It's not dead. We just need to keep working it.
The frustration is, of course, for even for us.
Right.
You know, we've got a letter now that's over a year old dated May 25th, 2016, and that was probably just a more recent contact that just shed all kinds of light on this for me. I mean, for instance, one picture I asked Mrs. Seymour for any pictures, and she's provided them, same ones that were in essence in the letter for the most part. But here's a picture of her father's high school class, and I'd be happy to provide it. He is the short gentleman, 5'5", in that picture. There's no way that he could have built that wall. Again, I'm not attacking you. I appreciate that the issue is alive. We just need to keep forward progress.
Yep.
And I think I've given the lead several options to keep alive. I mean, we can co-create a state of emergency, probably subject to legal counsel.
Well, our AG did say, our Deputy Attorney General did say that there is the encroachment permit process, too, where we can issue a permit. There's things we can do. We have options, Pat. We really do.
Can we set a goal, particularly if we get a free, you know, additional item on here, if this is the one that ultimately staff or the commission chooses? Can we set this as a priority for, you know?
Right. Yeah. You would have to talk amongst your commission and your folks, but I would have no problem.
Just jump in here real quick. I would say we're going to work on the retaining wall and C Street issue. We're going to work on that. I wouldn't get that confused with where we're going in the future as far as future transportation needs and safety enhancements.
Because as I outlined in my letter, although there are alternative routes, we partner our ambulance and fire apparatus and law enforcement vehicles, you know, back and forth between the Highlands, even back and forth clear out to Lockwood and Tribe, although that's going to change with the opening of USA Parkway. So, but for us to support what goes on in the Highlands, for the Highlands to support, which frequently their ambulance comes in and moves up to Virginia City, you know, depending if that wall fails, we're going to be up a creek and unable to provide emergency services to the level we do. So I just, again, would ask if we can explore aggressively. Maybe you and I can agree to discuss this, you know, every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. Where are we? We can bring in legal counsel if it helps expedite solutions.
And where we are right now, you provided a formal request a couple of weeks ago. I've sent that to the Attorney General's office. They're working, you know, they're looking at that. I would say, you know, a meeting between, you know, about five or six of us could happen in the next month, maybe in July.
Who's and, the AG?
Dennis Gallagher.
And Lou Holland has been involved in this as well.
Right.
And so there are two issues that we're working on outside of this that I would say don't need to be on this list. One is the retaining wall at C Street for the Seymours, and then the second one is the curbs and gutters, and we're working on those two. But I don't want that to get confused with where we're going in the future to help with transportation needs.
As long as we don't lose sight of it, I agree.
No, we got it.
So, Bill, if I may ask just for some clarity for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it appears and sounds that NDOT cannot find the records within your archives that would prove one way or the other that NDOT or state built that roadway and that particular panel. You can't find that information as of today, is that correct?
We can't find it within our own department.
I understand.
But we would be open to any evidence from anywhere, quite frankly.
That was my next question. If this community, going back in their archives, can show sufficient and substantial evidence that it was built by the Highway Department, And I understand you're not the legal department at NDOT, but the probability is you all could accept that as base information.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we could. We could work from that point forward, definitely. Yes.
Well, then we'll go to work on our desk, George.
Okay. Well, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. We have a couple more items we want to go over, but I'm thinking that maybe we would open it up right now to anybody who wanted to speak on this subject before we go any further.
Sure.
Okay, is that right?
Sure.
Any of the Seymours like to speak on this?
Oh, there's some space.
Morning. I'm Bob Seymour. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for the time and effort that's already been put into this. I do appreciate the work that NDOT is doing, but I have some serious problems with what was just stated here. First of all, the comment that this was one of the worst winters we've had. If it didn't fall this year, it never will. Obviously, it's not your front yard. It is my front yard, and this winter was very hard on it. The wall is much worse now than it was when we looked at it a year ago. Our house is still sinking. We have doors that we can't close. We have latches on doors that don't even line up anymore. The winter did have a hard effect. The wall might still be standing, but it's failing daily. And I guess the other thing is I sit here and listen, and it sounds like we're doing me a favor. And by no means am I asking for a favor. I think the pictures prove that we never would have needed a retaining wall on this property if the highway hadn't been put in there. There was absolutely no reason. We had a direct highway access. So wherever that retaining wall sits, it went in because the highway was there. You know, I'm not asking for a favor. I'm asking for Story County and for the Nevada Department of Transportation to step up and fix a situation that they created 80 years ago. Okay. That's all I really have to say today.
Thank you, Bob. Here we have someone. Okay.
My name is Patricia Fern Seymour, and I was born and raised in that home. In a few weeks, I'll be 85 years old. I have fought this. First of all, would
Patricia,
any of you like that bank
Patricia,
in front of you?
Would you please speak towards the mic?
In here?
Yeah. Can't hear you very well. You need to speak to
okay,
us,
would
not the group.
Anybody in this room like to have that bank in front of their home for their main entrance to the house? I don't think so. And I've lived with that my whole life. When they decided to cut that down, my dad was the only one that objected to the cut down of the... We had a C Street entrance. Our house was level with C Street. My dad was the only one that objected. He was able to maintain our sidewalk areas in front of our home, which gave us a little more land there. And... he had six kids under the age of 10 years old at that time, worked in the mines, a little man 5 feet tall. Do you think he could have made that retaining wall like it was with those cables and all in there? There was no way. The highway did that because he insisted on, he said, what's going to happen when my house goes down on C Street? And it's getting there now. Then I don't want to, if it does go, somebody's liable to be killed. The traffic comes around that turn. The plows have plowed every year and cut into the bank. He insisted that we had, at that time we worked with the county. They had to sell us two lots to make a driveway into B Street so that we could have an entrance into our house. We had no entrance from B Street. So the county sold us two lots. We made the driveway into so we could get to the house. And the county did say we will plow the lot in the wintertime so you can get your fuel deliveries and your groceries and whatever. And they did maintain that. The state worked on the steps and the bulkhead all the time while Virginia City men were working for the highway. There was Delbert Benner, Buddy Spargo, Frank Vogel. Every year they maintained those steps and they worked on the boat, made sure that everything was safe. But when they left the highway, nothing was done. It just deteriorated and fell apart. And that's where we are today. We've hauled in dirt, trying to build up under our house. But we can't keep doing that. There's not enough room there to be able to... Our sewer is messed up. The public works here can tell you how many times they've had to come out and work on the sewer because the sewer line runs right there close to that retaining wall. Something has to be done with it. I don't think it's my property. My property went to C Street. It was level with C Street. The mining company says you only own surface rights to your property, so how can you say I own that property where the retaining wall is? So I just wish something could be done before my time is up. And my kids deserve to have that home. So, and I don't think we caused the problem. The highway did it. And it's up to them to fix it. And I think it's time. We sat in this room last year, the same time last year. You showed a little slide scene on the wall, and then that bulkhead was on it. That was one of the projects that you were going to do. And you all came out and looked at it, and you all agreed that it was a big mess, but nothing's been done. So I think time to come, something has to be done. And I want to thank Pat Whitman for his time and consideration. He's been more than faithful to us.
Stick around, Mr. Cameron.
Yes.
Do you happen to remember at your young age then, you were living there in the home, is that correct?
What?
You were living in the home?
Yes.
At that time?
Yes.
How old were you approximately?
I was born in 1932. I think the highway went through in 1936.
So you were very young.
Very young,
I was just curious,
yes,
if you remember the construction equipment or
no,
who might have been out there building, but it sounds
no,
to me like...
No.
But
I know, my dad has talked all through the years. That's where I've gotten the information from my father. And he was the only one that did it. The house right next to us, the highway, right from the fence line right down, it's just straight. Where my father maintained the sidewalk areas, which gave us a little more land in front of our house, which, Lord help us, it's helped us, or we'd probably be down on the street right now. You know, if he hadn't done that, so.
Mrs. Seymour, if I could just ask a couple of questions.
Okay.
One is, would the family, I asked you this question last week when we met,
would
the family be willing to consider giving that property to the state or to the county to pass through to the state?
Hey, as far as I'm concerned, it's theirs now.
That gives us a possible solution.
Yes,
and then one other question, you shared with me some additional information I didn't know. A few years back, the state went ahead and tore out the stairs that went from C Street up to your place?
No, they never did tear them down.
Oh,
they're
okay,
just laying there now. Just,
okay, I misunderstood
we
that.
We have put a chain across the
ones
up to the house because they are so bad. If somebody tries to go up there, they're going to break a hip or something. So we have kind of blocked it off, but they aren't. And you can make it up there.
Okay, thank you.
But as far as I'm concerned, the highway has that. They can have that property.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks so much, Pat, for your help on all this. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Seymour. Okay, the gentleman
you.
Back here, you wanted to speak on this?
I'm Martin Reeves.
Go ahead and state your name for the record. So
Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, Reeves, R-E-E-V-E-S. Okay. And I'm a Lockwoodianite. And I just would urge you, with the Lockwood overpass, you've never drove I-80 past the Lockwood thing.
I've been on the exit. I just got there.
Well, instead of just making the entrance ramps and everything, that why don't you rebuild the overpass for three lanes in each direction? It takes sometimes 2 hours to get from Lockwood just to Vista because of that overpass, or from Mustang. It's choking it all the way back to the world's largest, and they don't even have the buildings up yet that are going to add 10,000, 20,000 more people coming down that highway. He lives in Lockwood. If anything happens and you're trying to get to town, you're 2 hours sitting there. I sat there in the last couple of weeks, 2 hours with my dog in a hot truck twice. And I would urge you to look at rebuilding all three overpasses that you're talking about, making it so it's three lanes in each direction to get that tax dollars and wage revenue and everything out to the world's largest and get it back into Washoe Valley where, you know, the county needs the tax revenue. We need to move that tax revenue in and out of the world's largest as fast as possible without any headaches, so people can keep their employees and keep the wage taxes and property taxes coming into the county. I would just urge you to make that three lanes instead of like where the Nugget is, and it chokes down to two lanes and backs up every day both directions. You know, just fix it one time instead of rebuilding it five or six times and then it's still not right. That's my only comment.
Great. Thank you. Do you have anyone else who'd like to comment thus far? Okay. I didn't see anybody else, but Jack, I think you've got something you want to talk about.
I just don't want this to be forgotten. You know, a while back there was monuments approved to be put at each end of USA Parkway as part of the opening that road up to Highway 50. So Highway 50, they've got a bunch of the metal sculptures like you see in Carson City. I think in some parts of Reno too, there's some metal sculptures of birds and. In Carson, they got cattle and stuff like that. Out in Silver Springs, the roundabout, they plan on putting up like a Conestoga wagon, looks like a trapper or something of that sort. They got a few of those sculptures going out, which are fine. And but then I learned that Story County is getting this. It's pretty much been considered a Burning Man statue. And I think I haven't found anybody who really cares for this sculpture. It doesn't fit the industrial park theme, and so we've been opposed to it ever since. And NDOT is well aware of that. This had already been approved before the county was even notified of this, and county didn't really have a word or say in the matter. So we're a little peeved about that as well. So I just wondered if anybody out here that doesn't know what this monument looks like, come see me. I can text you or email you a picture of it. So it's gotten to the point where now it appears, according to NDOT, that we have to get the governor's blessing to change or not have this monument. So that's where we stand right now.
If I may add to that, too, I did go to the governor, and I've had this discussion with Lee. The governor has said, amongst other things, that he won't step into NDOT's day-to-day operations. And I would acknowledge, you know, because, again, in all truth, you know, we get invited to a lot of stuff with NDOT, you know, some of it that is critical stuff, some of it that's not important. And there were invitations from Pedro to go, but we didn't see the specificity that we were going to discuss monument design. So it is accurate that it was done without Story County input. And again, we'd ask both the deputy director, Lee, Pedro's project manager. I know we're getting very close to opening, and I'm proud of it. I think I won't say the monument's a work of art. You don't say Parkway 439 is a work of art. It'll be a game changer for everybody. But if there was any way to reconsider it, either moving this monument somewhere else, not having a monument, that's the question that's been on the table with Lee for quite some time.
Okay. Well, for the record, Bill Hoffman again, Deputy Director. We have no plans to change that sculpture at this point. We've conferred with the governor's office. They feel that public meeting in August last year sufficed for a vote, and there were definitely more hands, way more hands that went up in favor of that sculpture than were not, and there were at least 100 or 150 people in attendance. I was in the front row that night, and far more people liked the sculpture than did not like it. So that's what NDOT and the governor's office are resting.
Okay. Deputy Director, could you tell me how many Story County residents were in attendance?
I don't know. But we called a meeting where we were going to, that was part of it. We were going to unveil, you know, portions of the actual corridor itself and then the landscaping and aesthetics portion of it. Pat, you just said you got invitations from Pedro but didn't attend. I mean, really?
I've got, yes, really.
How can we be blamed if you weren't even taking part in the meetings?
I've got multiple invitations from NDOT to attend anything from mundane meetings about something to this. And this did not say.
But Mr. Haymore attended the March 12th meeting, too.
Okay, well, you know, again, the message here is not what we did or didn't attend. The message is we find the monument horrible. Reprehensible. I mean, I could tell you what one person's version of it was, but I won't in the interest of decorum. But I guess I'll just close with one more question then. Is, you know, we have multiple ownerships up there. We own, best of my knowledge, we own from the county line to Peru Drive. You have a perpetual maintenance agreement. Is that true? Where is this monument going? Is it going on right away? We own, but you maintain, or is it going further back? You know,
I don't know. I don't know where it's going. I'll be honest with you. I don't know where exactly it's going. Do you know, Lee? Or we'll get you that information.
Again, we will probably resist through legal course if we need to place it on property of the county.
Okay. You know, I was at that meeting where these hundred of people showed up. But I also that's when I found out about the monument, and it's when I found out it was already approved. And it was at the Silver Springs School out there. And the only, you know, so it was all Lyon County people that were attended that. The only Story County people that I know that I can recall is Dean Haymore and myself. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, and Dean Haymore was actually at the March 12, 2016 meeting where they agreed on the concepts.
None of those meetings indicated there was going to be a vote for a monument.
Okay.
Yeah, you look up the records. I looked up the records. There is no statement saying that we're going to be voting on monuments.
We'll look into that. That's a fair statement. We will look into that, then.
In any event, Story County is adamantly opposed to this monument.
Yeah.
Anywhere on the USA Parkway.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. So once again, I don't know. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any more questions on anything? Do you have any more questions on this step?
No.
I think we finalized all that. I'm going to open up one for public comment because this is an action item. If anybody has any comments they want to make concerning anything that we've talked about so far. Mr. Van Havel.
Jason Van Havel, Story County Public Works Director. I just wanted to mention that as we were heading into the significant weather events of this past year, the Virginia City Maintenance Station was a little short-staffed, and then they got blindsided by having the supervisor quit literally days before the weather really started. The remaining staff and their equipment did an incredible job picking up and carrying on. As we were turning 100-hour weeks, they were turning 100-hour weeks, really put the county safety and the county's mobility as a priority and did a fantastic job. So I wanted to extend a special thank you to the local maintenance yard and Jason Drake for stepping up locally and doing an amazing job. So, thank you.
May I go public comment? And Bill, I'd like to make a suggestion, Pat Whitney, for the record, and in the form of a question, subject to legal approval, subject probably to the Transportation Board's approval, subject to this commission's approval, and the fiscal people
I'm heartened to see that we've actually made the list for the USA Parkway Electric Avenue light. That has been a monumental effort. Pedro's done a great job. Ames has done a great job. Would the department be willing to consider, this is not a commitment, would the department be willing to consider if Mr. Gallagher, our comptroller, could find the $3 million of entering into a loan agreement with you so that we could get it done sooner than later? Or is it a matter of we've got to
go back and...
Is it a funding issue or a design issue, I guess, would be my question.
I think it's a design issue.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's both. But, yeah, no, I'd be more than happy to sit down with you and work on that. No problem. I did want to make one last comment. If I upset Mr. Seymour, I apologize. I do. I didn't mean to upset you, so I didn't mean to say anything to upset you. So.
Okay, well, I'm going to continue on public comment. And Mr. Thompson, if you have your hand up.
Mr. Chairman, County Commissioners, County Manager, Madam DA, Mr. Chairman, I think it's worth noting what a great job NDOT and Ames Construction did on USA Parkway. Where I'm out there a lot. My name is Chris Thompson, Project Manager, TRI. I'm out there on that site a lot. Pedro Rodriguez, their project manager, has been superb. He's been responsive. I just texted him this morning on an issue. It is well managed by NDOT, and Ames Construction is probably the best highway contractor I have ever seen. They moved with a sense of urgency, almost with military-like precision. And I just think it's worth noting what a great job they've done out there. And on behalf of Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, we thank them for their hard, professional, efficient work. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right. Any more public comment?
I've got one. I want to say this in public comment, but I've known Dean Haymore for a long time, so from my days as a county commissioner and in working with NDOT. And Dean, I just want to thank you for all that you've done for not only Story County, for the state of Nevada. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. That concludes public comment on this. So what we have before us, commissioners, is the acceptance of this presentation by Nevada Department of Transportation and the acceptance of the 2017 transportation report for Story County. So I get a motion for approval on this.
Can we hold on for 1 second? We're actually approving the 18, right? I believe it'll be agenda. So the agenda is in, right?
Oh.
Okay, we're accepting.
Okay.
We're just accepting the report.
Yeah. The presentation, yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion to accept the presentation by the Nevada Department of Transportation and acceptance of the 2017-2018 transportation report for Story County.
I'll second your motion.
Okay. We move to second to approve this report for 2018. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Mr. Hoffman, Mr. Bonner, thank you for coming up today. Thanks for taking the heat.
Thank you, Lee.
I'll contact you, Pat. I'll come up and have a cup of coffee.
Good deal, Bill.
Thank
great.
You.
Thank you. Thanks again. Okay, as mentioned with the... today's agenda, we move to number 22 up next. And so, Mr. Gallagher, are you going to handle this portion? This is going to be discussion and possible action per NRS 354.624, selection of auditor for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2017. I have a disclosure to make on this, is that although I have no pecuniary interest in the accounting firm of DiPietro & Thornton, I've had a long business relationship with this firm. Back years before Mr. DiPietro and Thornton, I believe they were staff accountants through the changes of people retiring and that, they're now the senior partners in this. I was not involved in the selection process. I did not recommend any of the people who were being considered for this for this contract for professional services. And so with that being said, I will vote on this matter. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not since probably 1973 or thereabouts has Story County been in a position to do this. Pringle and Pollard were here from the inset and has done an admirable job, and basically decided to retire this year. So I will tell you that the selection of the fiscal year's auditor has been a very trying and very interesting experience because we have never been through this before. The audit committee has spent several hours in interviews with the prospective certified public accounting firms and internal meetings analyzing the various attributes of each firm. There were four firms, each very, very qualified, all certified by the Nevada State Board of Accountancy, all had experience, all were very, very well liked by their peers. And after considerable review and discussion, the audit committee selects the certified public accounting firm of DePietro and Thornton. DePietro and Thornton is they're a certified public accounting firm located in Reno, Nevada. Founded in 1988, Joe DePietro and Randy Thornton have 29 years of experience in public accounting and the audit of financial statements. Their firm is registered, like I said, with the Nevada State Board of Accountancy. I have here with me Randy Thornton, who is the partner in charge, and Joe Costanza, who is going to be the principal on this audit. If the board would like asking any questions of these gentlemen, if you can feel free to do them.
What's the formal name of your business?
It's DePietro and Thornton.
Pardon?
DePietro and Thornton.
Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions for the
No question.
It wasn't in
I think the agenda was published before the committee had made a decision.
Right. Oh, yes. The committee finalized this about 3 o'clock yesterday.
So. Do you have a business card? Business card.
Yeah.
We can open this up for public comment. We've had concerns by members of the audience who have been in attendance in the past who thought it was time to look for new auditors. And in the event of Mr. Pollard retiring, the firm retiring, here is our opportunity. So here's the opportunity for anybody who has any questions. Any more questions from you, Jack?
No.
Lance, any questions from you?
I don't know.
Okay. No. Staff recommendation? Okay.
Yes.
No, yes.
comes to motion. Sorry. The recommended motion per NRS 354.624, the Story County Commissioners do hereby select DePietro and Thornton as the auditor for the fiscal year ending June
30th, 2017. Okay. I think it's DePietro.
I'm going to get that wrong forever.
DePietro.
DePietro.
As long as we know Joe.
Can I make the motion?
Okay. I'll make a motion per NRS 354.624. The Story County Commissioners do hereby select DePietro and Thornton CPA as the auditor for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2000. It should be 18 or 17. 17? 2017.
Very good. Second. We're moved in second. So go ahead and bring on DePietro and Thornton to this
this fiscal year. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Congratulations, Randy. Joe.
Thank you.
Very good.
See you in a day.
All right, we're going to move on now to item number 7. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start here on the right side of the room with the sheriff, Sheriff Antonoro.
Just one real quick item. Back in February, you authorized me to go ahead and proceed with grant pursuit of Brazo electronic citation and crash reporting systems. Just to give you an update on that, it is rolling out. The folks from Brazo was here this past week, and they've got us pretty much set up in-house. We're in a kind of a beta phase right now. Getting all the bugs worked out. Got several units in operation, and it should go fully live within about 2 weeks. And so far, the cost to us has been exactly nothing. So, any questions?
Can you reiterate what the system does?
It's the electronic citation system, so it cuts down on our actual paper citations. It transfers the information to the court electronically, and then the electronic crash reporting gives us the ability to interface with the state of Nevada on the crash reporting data more directly and cuts down on wasting rainforests.
Okay.
So,
all right. Okay.
It's easy for filing data for the two for you.
We always have the data available.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you. Right.
Thanks for the update, Sheriff. Director for St. Mary's Art Center, Ms. Perry.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of St. Mary's Art Center staff and Board of Directors, or trustees, we wanted to thank Story County for their considerable support. So specifically, Jack, thank you as board member for facilitating the pavement of our driveway, which is remarkable. If you haven't seen it, it's beautiful. It's already increased traffic and has elevated the presence of the Art Center, which I think will enhance our ability to welcome the community and to generate more traffic and visibility. Jason Van Havel was wonderful to work with. He was also very fair in working with us on our complicated schedule, which, again, we appreciated. Jason W., I'm not saying his last name because I don't want to butcher it on record, he was very helpful with the transition of demolition of our original sign. So it's been a really nice collaborative effort. I think the county has been remarkable in paving this driveway. It's the first time it's been done. Really beautiful. The timing was perfect. We did some landscaping of our own. We also benefited from Denny Dotson and his exposure as bringing Hot August Nights to the property for a photo shoot. So that driveway looked really good with the cherry red hot rod. Also, Katie DeMuth has been really good with the wedding planner. She brought in a tour of wedding planners, which was great for exposure. And we've also been invited to participate in the Comstock Kids Club program. So we thank you for that. Also, James and Tim with IT support, they have been really great. They're great tenants, if you will, at St. Mary's, helping us with IT solutions, bringing in high-speed fiber. Really appreciate that, and they're very easy to work with. Also, Pat Witten has been very gracious in facilitating many of the projects that we're working on, and including the mural in the courthouse, which is apart from St. Mary's Art Center, but still I consider the two kind of symbiotic because of our mission to support the arts. And then also to the commissioners, thank you very much individually for your private support. which has been noted, and we appreciate it. Each of you are contributing in your own way, and we wanted to make sure that we said thank you for that, and we appreciate it. And then, last but not least, to kind of close up the participation and support of the county through all of those efforts, and then also the work Sherry Nevin has done, and the subgrantee process, and where our hopes for renovating and restoring the balcony and the porch, St. Mary's really is going to benefit from this complete and kind of comprehensive upgrade. And we hope that that will be beneficial and inviting to the community, and we will be able to continue with things like the Easter egg hunt, the pumpkin patch, our children's art program, things that will bring the community onto the property and make it the partnership that we are really working very hard to make it. So thank you again. We appreciate it.
Great. Do you have anything for
Bill? The Art Center has it's finally gotten all the money together to install a security system. And the security system has kind of held us up on bringing in higher quality artists and sculptures and all that. This security system is about ready to be installed, finally. It's very close. And that's going to open the doors to higher quality artists coming in. And I think you all need to, if you haven't been there in a while, you really need to go check it out. The place is looking immaculate. And soon you'll be seeing, you'll see more things in the paper about the new shows coming to town to speak of. Thank you. You're doing a great job, Erica.
Yeah. It's a great update you've given us. You probably know, and everyone else knows, that Dean Hamer is going to retire here real quick, but he coined the term team story. And that what you've given us is a testament to that, about the cooperation that we get between the different department heads and elected officials throughout the county, all working together to make a better product. And you deliver on that down there being the director. These e-blasts that you do of letting us all know what's going on. It's very informative. I'm not really into the art world that much, but I like reading about what you have going on. And you have a very busy calendar down there. You always have stuff going on. So you're doing a terrific job of entertaining yourself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Now, another one of our great community leaders over here at the Community Chest and Library, Shelly Griffin.
Is that building up yet?
Sean Griffin, Community Chest, and I just want to echo what Erica just said to you. Because of all your support, the Art Center has really come online, and she's a wonderful champion. Also want to echo what has been stated this morning about Jason. The lot was paved north of the park and the pool and the center. And that's made life incredibly wonderful for everybody, and I know that wouldn't have happened without all of you. We got hung up with the snow, which wasn't supposed to come in June, but it did. So now the ground is dried out again, it's compacted, and we're getting it leveled. And we should be reviewing the specs for the metal building tomorrow, and the construction meeting should be finished with that piece of it within 2 months. So you'll probably see an actual physical structure on there mid-August is my guess, and if it happens sooner, good for everyone. We're pushing hard to meet the mid-February deadline, and hopefully it'll happen sooner than that. And lastly, we just received word from the Snow Foundation. We received $5,000 from them for our electronic database in the library. It now is, we're online with the Polaris system, so we can do all the access to the books across the state of Nevada. So we're pushing. We're going hard. That's what's happening.
Terrific. Yeah. I went down and looked at the new parking lot. It looks great. Yeah. Right after they did that, I haven't been back to see if they striped it yet. Have they had time to do that yet?
Not so much. Thankfully, it's there. With taking out the other lot, we needed it immediately, and so it's been wonderful.
And it is on the list. We're just trying to close out one fiscal year and open another in such a way that we survive after chopping about $300,000 out of Jason's budget. And stuff.
So again, thanks so much to all of you.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean. All right. Community Development Director, Dean Haymore.
Good morning, Commissioners, County Manager, and to all the residents in the audience. A couple of things going on. You might have heard we lost Stacy about a week and a half ago. She looked for some other career opportunities and took those. We have a lot of single-family houses in the Highlands and Mark Twain and Virginia City coming in. I would say over 100 to 200% growth in the preceding years. And so we're having a lot of plans submitted with the growth of people reinvesting and building their homes here. We're going forward with the growth down in the industrial site. Studio 6 is going in. Plumbing and foundations are going in right now, Studio 6. We will permit a grading plan for the work to start for the Marriott's facility this week. We're meeting with other clients and companies down there right now. You'll see some more grading going on right across. Roger Norman's going to grade a 25-acre pad right across from our building down there at 1700 Peru. That equipment showed up on site yesterday, and they're going to start moving and creating a pad there. So there's a lot of work continuing going on, a lot of remodels, a lot of jumping, moving into a bigger building. Jet's moved into their 700,000. Panasonic's taken part of Jet. Radio eBay's expanding their building. So there's a lot of TIs going on. We've met with Amazon. Amazon has a current TI permit for about $1.6 million. They're revamping their building right now, the Amazon building. So there's a lot of work going on that the inspectors, Gary has been working with our staff and the fire department, met with Tesla and actually did tours and interviews today with Tesla's hiring three inspectors to be on site. Because of the workload that put Story County underneath, and they started today. And so Tesla will have three inspectors that Tesla's paying for that report to us, plus our county inspectors that will be on site full-time too. They have a big push to get a lot of their things done in the next 2 or 3 months. Operations are going very well down there. So overall, very busy, a lot of things going on.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you.
Thanks for your service. Next up, our Community Relations Director, Sherry Nevin. Okay. So we have the reporter in attendance today, Ms. Chatter.
I just kind of wanted to let everybody know that the recorders had several bills that did pass through the session, and that our recording fees will be going up soon. Of course, these bills are all enacted at different times, so we've had one fee change already, won't affect the general recordings, and then we will have another fee increase July 1, and our final fee increase, which is going to have the most impact, is going to be October 1. All of those fees will be present on the website, and I will continue to update as they go into effect. So if you have any other questions or anything, if you have recordings to do, get them done before July 1.
So is there... Is there a path to recoup those fees?
These fees, they go to a number of different programs. One of them goes to like a foreclosure mediation fee. They're starting to collect more money on that. Some of it goes to foster care. Some of it goes to accounts for indigent care. And then others will come into the general fund. And most of those, general fund, tech fund. We're losing tech fund, our $25 tech fund, but we will be collecting more money per recording to help alleviate that loss. So there will see some revenue, but of course that's recording fees that raise it for everybody. So that's, they tried to do this as the cost of programs. You know, they just increase over the years. The recorders have not had a fee increase in a number of years. So it was about time that they did that. The good thing is transfer tax is still the same. So, you know, that's good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. Our Director of Security, Melanie Keener.
Nothing to say, thank you.
All right. Over to the Fire Department, Chief Nevin. No? Okay. Over to Communications, Mr. Ballard.
Good morning, Dave Ballard, Story County Communications. Just wanted to let you guys know we're looking at bringing fiber into this building that James Dean's bringing in for his project. At the same time, I'm going to jump on it, and we're going to start putting the voice over IP phone systems in. This building alone, I don't even know what we pay monthly for it. AT&T probably couldn't tell us what we pay monthly. Their monthly phone bill is about 74 pages, and I don't know. Can't tell you what's on there, what we're paying for. We're looking at the new stuff, we're bringing it in, and it's considerably cheaper. We got to buy the equipment up front, but it's going to save money in the long run. It's going to allow us to tie all our phone lines in the county. We already got a couple systems in place, and we'll probably put a few more as we're going in there. It's going to pull all those phone lines together, allowing us to share everything. So, like, the DA probably has a couple lines, the sheriff has some, the jail has some, the fire department has some, and the lines we have here will all be shared and pooled together. As anybody in the county needs to use a phone, county phone-wise, you know, we'll be sharing those lines, so it's going to cut down on costs and save some money there. The initial phone service that I can tell right now, just by looking at it, is about $500 a month. For phones in this building, we're probably paying $600 just for phone lines through AT&T right now. But I don't know what else we're paying for in there when we start paying for, the faxes and all the other stuff. The four or the three-digit dialing and stuff like that, four-digit dialing. There's quite a bit more to it that we'll be able to save and cut out of there. So that's coming here pretty soon. AT&T's looking at cutting out copper anyway. It's pretty expensive for them. By law, they have to maintain copper to places where they can't provide fiber yet. But as they start to do that, they're trying to just do away with the copper and go with the fiber. So this is a good time for us to jump on there and start getting things tied up. So we should have probably fiber in this building in probably 60 to 90 days, somewhere right around there. Sometime after that, we'll start looking at putting in the new phone system. And that's all I have.
So is that also going to be the internet service going to be fiber as well?
Yeah, they're heading that way. Pretty much everything's getting there. There's places in town still, like even up at the Divide, where they have fiber running through there, but they still don't have fiber going to certain houses, so they have to run their copper. But it's just so expensive for them. They're just trying to get off of that, and they're just trying to do everything through the fiber. And, like I said, the Internet's coming through there, and it's, it's just kind of up and coming. It's just the way it is, I guess, anymore.
Any questions for Dave? No? Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, over at the BCTC, Jenny Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I think a more frequently asked question in this last month is not, other than what the NDOT was just hit with this morning, is where are we shooting the fireworks off this year? A lot of folks are asked that, obviously with last year, moving it around. Last Friday we came to an agreement with the Silverland Hotel. So we will go back to the old location, adjust the show to fit accordingly with the fallout zone, the fire department, and then we'll work with the sheriff's department on security for that block, but be behind the Silverland Hotel. So that was just finalized. Met with SHPO last week in regards to the crystal bar. We're going to do some light maintenance, a little paint touch-up, and they've agreed to let us do a stucco, if you would, wall across the entire length of Taylor Street, where we can plan on putting a mural there next year. So that's in the works. And then finally, we finished up bleachers at the fairgrounds, added another 400. That gives us 2,500 seats that the county now owns. So it's all good.
Good. Any questions for Danny? Okay, good. Thank you, Danny. Public Works Director, Jason Van Abel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yesterday I received an email from Chris Jonkis at NDOT. He's their emergency management director there at NDOT. And he told me that last Thursday, local federal highways offered their blessing to NDOT's submittal for emergency relief funds on various roads in northern Nevada. Contained in that submittal was a proposal that I had put together for Six Mile Canyon. So our proposal for Six Mile Canyon was approved last week by federal highways, and we should be receiving official confirmation within a week or so, once Rudy with NDOT actually reviews and signs all of the items from NDOT's standpoint. Now, what the project is roughly, for a permanent project, roughly $1.4 million in scope, which will rebuild the blown-out culvert to a 25-year flood standard, which is a significant capacity upgrade to what we have now, and it will restore shoulder work throughout the canyon to a 4-foot-wide standard for safety, and in areas where it's not economical to build that wide of a shoulder because of the large banks significantly above where the creek is down below, we'll be looking at installing guardrail. Also within that was a 100% cover of local expenses to restore emergency service. So the activities that the counties performed to get Six Mile Canyon built and back open to the public to where we are right now, as I calculated that up, it was about $250,000 in total, and federal highways will cover the county's expenses to recoup that. So that was very good news. Another item is as you know, we recently had to reformulate our sewer project in town where we had to cut out Gold Hill. A fallout from that is now NDEP. We need to get a plan in place about what we're going to do with the Gold Hill area now that it's not part of the Virginia City sewer project. And so we're going to be moving forward and getting that plan in place with NDEP to address that, and that'll be in place by the end of the month. The last item that I wanted to mention is last Wednesday we opened up the pool, and it has been receiving heavy use. There's been over 100 people there on many days, and it's wonderful to be able to look at the community utilizing that service that we're providing coming out of this brutal winter, and now the community's enjoying summer, and it's kind of a heartwarming thing to see.
Terrific. Any questions, Jason?
Thank you.
Yeah, but once we get into the new budget cycle, I guess we can look at getting that parking lot stripe down there across from the pool. Because people don't park, they park cattywampus if you don't give them instructions.
Yeah.
Thank you for instructing your staff on C Street by putting the hash marks in, which crosses the fog line, giving the drivers an idea of where they need to park their cars on the street, too. Once again, without those hash marks, cars don't park in a proper way. You know, two cars will take the space of three just because they don't have guidelines. So thanks for taking care of that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. Over at the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher?
Nothing
today? Director of Planning and Human Resources and everything else? Austin Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me. I just want to let you and the public know that we're still working on the lands bill
here in Virginia City, Gold Hill, and a portion of Mark Twain. It's still moving forward, but very slowly. A lot of people have been calling about the status of this, and there's a couple people in Mark Twain that are affected that have been calling on a regular basis. All of them seem to be satisfied that the county is doing its best to get this matter resolved. Unfortunately, the situation we're in is Washington. There's a change of administration, whether it's good or bad or in the middle. There's change in Congress and the Senate, and there's all kinds of changes in staffing and all the different organizations and leadership, and of course that makes quite a bit of a difference. One thing has also changed is one of our allies with the Bureau of Land Management, not the Carson City office, but the Nevada State office, is in Washington doing quite a bit of work and may be doing that for a year or so. That person was kind of helping grease the gears along the way in the local Nevada offices, and that person being out of the area has had a little bit of an impact. So we're still working with the Carson City office, we're still working with the state office and getting all of these things mattered. And we're still working with Congressman Amaday's office, with our lobbyist, the Porter Group in Washington, to try to get the bill simplified and get another bill or get it attached to some kind of bill to simplify the lands bill, to get rid of the necessary cadastral survey that could take up to 15 years to complete, and try to create a simple process that would take 18 months to complete. It is possible, but it is going to take some time. That's all I have.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Over our planning department. Kathy, do you have anything today
for us?
Okay. Move along now to special counsel, Mr. Morse.
Nothing today, thank you.
Okay. DA Langer?
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
County Manager Whitten.
Yes, thank you. Just a few quick items. Austin's mention of the land bill reminds me to update the commission on zip codes, and unfortunately there's really nothing substantial to report. It's Washington, D.C., I guess is all you can say. It's in committee, it's looking good, but it also has to go through its processes, inclusive of a committee chair retiring, resigning midterm. So the good news, I think, is we're making progress on a partial solution at the same time. And we got notification that there's a bill, H.R. 2193, which is called Remote Transactions Parity Act of 2017. And that is gaining some strong bipartisan support, according to the Porter Group. And what this is, nothing simple in Congress, but what this is in essence is it is taking what Amazon is currently doing as far as sales tax collections, and the parity is the parity between the brick and mortar stores and the ability to make an order on the internet from providers not inclusive of Amazon. Amazon voluntarily assesses retail sales tax, but it will put sales tax on and I think provide some paving of the way for, you know, what those sales tax rates would be. So
I think that's in addition to the Marketplace Fairness Act.
It is. That's the Marketplace Fairness is the Senate side, and the Remote Transaction Parity Act is the House side. By virtue of the fact that at the last meeting we canceled the first meeting of the month in July because it would have fallen on the 4th of July, that means we next meet on July 18th, and I want to just kind of tease everybody with a hope that we think John Porter and his team, our federal consultant partners, will be here to give us updates on things like the lands bill, the sales tax, zip code, and also I think just some general insight into Washington, D.C. from some pretty sage advice. And then last, you notice Justice Harrington isn't here. She's hanging around with 48 of her other cronies. There are 49 judges in town, so this is not a good day to screw around and get in trouble. But she has brought the judicial conference here. They're spending a couple nights, I think, in the Silverland. And she's got quite an agenda lined out for them, and was thankful for Denny and Katie's help in organizing this. So, sounds like fun.
Very good.
That's it.
Thanks, Pat.
Okay, that concludes item number 7. We're going to take about a 10-minute recess, and then we'll come back.